Good morning. I want to welcome you to Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. I've got a couple of quick announcements and then we'll get into our message today. May 24th is our downtown outreach. We will be going down there. That means that Saturday at 9 a.m. we'll be meeting at the church on South Mays Road, and we'll be preparing sack lunches to pass out. So if you could be a part of that, join us on the 23rd at our church at 9 a.m. and we'll make up a bunch of sack lunches to take up their Sunday after church. And of course, the big announcement that I want to share today is starting at 10:30 May 31st, we are going to have a limited service at our church. What limited service means is we're kind of following the CDC practices. We're still going to maintain our 6-foot clearance around each other, or around families or couples at least. Face masks, you're encouraged to wear them. If you don't have one, that's okay if you don't want to, but we encourage you to wear them. We want to make sure that you understand the families, that there will be no nursery or no children's church. That was kind of a hard decision, but we decided not to do that. It's impossible to keep the 6-foot distance in the children's church or in the nursery, so we're not going to have that, and we just encourage you to watch from home. We're going to start our live streaming service on the 31st. I'm excited about that. We're also going to ask that, you know, there's no PDA and no physical contact. You know, we just want to be careful, and we just want to err on the side of caution. And so the reason that we do these safety measures, it's not a fear or anything like that. It is because we love you guys, and we love each other, and you guys are like family, and I'm expecting the same thing from my family, and I would expect the same thing for your family, just to take care of each other. So we'll see you on the 31st. So let's just continue our series here. We've been going through a series. It's been called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. How to get through what you're going through. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. We're going through some stuff right now. So if you would, please open up your Bibles, turn on your tablets, get on your smartphone, open up the app, fire it up, pull up your Bible reading in there. We are going to be, once again, we're in the book of James. We're in the first chapter. We're going to be around verses 17 and 18. We're going to go to a couple other places also, but that's where we're mostly going to be at. And so we're going to have some supporting verses that we're going to go to. But my goal this morning is to share the Word of God with you and share some basic biblical principles for getting us through this pandemic, through getting us through this crisis, helping us to navigate this thing. And as a matter of fact, it's not only this, but it's anything that rocks your boat, anything that from this day forward that's just going to challenge you. And I'm going to assure you that there will be things that will challenge you. This is going to help you today. Today is going to be a great message. Right now, there's a lot of us, we're under stress. It's difficult. It's a rough time. We're worried about the stability of our jobs, whether we're going to have a job Monday or not, or we're worried about our jobs because we do work and we work out into the public. We're concerned about catching the virus from somebody else or giving it to one of our family members. Our world has just been turned upside down, and many of us were kind of locked away in our own homes. But I want to be assured that you would be assured, my friends, and understand this, that God has not left you without hope. And I assure you that He's not left you without help. James chapter 1, it's an awesome book. The believers at that time in James, they're under enormous stress. They're under a very difficult time in their life. The Roman Empire, they're putting pressure on them. They've been coming down on them. They're under great persecution right at this time. soldiers have been searching them out. They're dragging them out of their homes and they're putting them in jail. Their lives have been turned upside down. The government has said that they couldn't join together. The believers weren't allowed to join together anymore. They were scattered around. They couldn't communicate with each other. They were forced to meet in these secret small groups in people's homes with nobody knowing about it. They were isolated in their own homes. Does this sound familiar? Their lives were in very danger. It was a difficult time for them, as it is a difficult time for us. They were under enormous stress. We're under enormous stress. But God didn't leave them without hope. He left them with James to encourage them, to write to them. And God didn't leave us without hope and help, because he left us with the book of James. He provided that for us, that it would give us hope, that it would encourage us as we read it, that it would strengthen us as we read it, that it would help us as we read it, that it would help us to get through what we're going through in these great times of stress and great times of crisis. And so in this series, as we've been talking about this and we've been going through this, we've talked about, for one thing, being afraid. It is a little bit of a scary time, but being afraid. We've talked about dealing with emotions that we're having in this crisis. We've talked about making the tough decisions, choosing the right thing. We've talked about temptation and coping strategies that's going to help us get through that. So today, what I want us to discover as we go in there and we look at God's Word, as we look at the Bible, whether it's your printed Bible, whether it's on your tablet, whether it's on your app, we want you to look at that. We want you to understand these things. And it tells us about when life gets unstable. It shows us when life is unstable, when you're feeling insecure in your life, when you don't have the answers, when the wind and the rain, it just continues to pour down on us. Today, what I want is I want you to be able to discover, how do you anchor yourself in the middle of this storm? Today, what I want you to discover is this. How do you anchor yourself in the middle of the storm? And my brothers and sisters, I can assure you there'll be many other storms to come after this. So maybe today, even maybe today you're here and you're listening to this message and you're not in the coronavirus storm. That's not your big concern right now. Maybe your big concern right now and the storm in your life is your finances. And you're just at the almost at the point of losing your home or foreclosing on your house. You know, your issue today might be a relational issue. Are you having problems in your marriage? Are you having problems with your children? Are you having issues with your parents? Maybe your spouse is leaving. Maybe that's what's going on in your life. Maybe your health is failing you at this time. Maybe your family is falling apart. Or maybe just in your own life, you feel like everything's falling apart. And how do you just throw that anchor out? How do you do that? How do you just say, hold on just a second. I just need to get my bearings. You know, how do you get that base in your life? How do you do that? How do you clear your head? How do you keep it together when you're going through this storm? How do you hold on to things? Sometimes we just say, you know, I just need to get through what I'm going through. I just need to be able to handle this. Just help me to hold on so I can get through this, so I can get things back in order. So what I want to do is I want to give you a foundation at first, where we're coming from on this and where I'm coming from on this. Before we get to the book of James, I want to read this to you. I want you to hold on to this and write just on a side note, and you can read it at a later date. It's in Matthew 7:24. And he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them says, well, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The word about God today, as we read this and go through this, it offers us hope as well as help. It gives us instructions. And listen, this anchor, this is the anchor to life's storms, the word of God. This is the anchor. They are found in this book and in no other book. Jesus is delivered. He just finished it this time. He's just delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And he says that there's two ways that you could build your life. There's two ways that you can make a life for yourself. One of them is on the rock, and the other is on the sand. There's no other choices. You can't be both ways. You can't have one foot on each side. One is on the rock and one is on the sand. And the sand results in verse 27, and it says, and the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and it beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. But on the rock, it says in verse 25, and the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and it beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And do you see how the storms came into both of their lives? And the rain fell in both of their lives, and the floods came in both of their lives. And today, maybe what's going on in your life, maybe you're right in the middle of the storm. And you feel the same way, and it's just beating down on your house. And it's trying to destroy your home. Or it's trying to destroy your relationships. Or you feel like it's trying to destroy your career, or your health, or your loved ones. And the only way that you're going to survive a storm like this, the only way that you're going to get through it, is to be anchored to something that is solid. The only way that you're going to get through this storm, or any storm, is to be anchored to something that's solid. Something that you can trust. Now, you might think that's your career, because you make good money. You've been there a long time. You're hoping for no layoffs. And then it comes. Or you might think it's always been your health, and you feel good about your health, and you exercise, and you do all kinds of stuff like that, and you feel good about that. And then a virus gets you. Or even worse, cancer. Or maybe you have a horrible car wreck. And you've always got your spouse. You always feel like your marriage is strong. You're doing fine. Everything's going good. And you're busy and you're at work a lot, but everything seems to be just fine. And then infidelity creeps in. You've made some bad choices, or somebody else has made some bad choices. And we just know this in our lives. Listen to this. Everything changes. We understand that. Everything changes. The weather changes. The earth changes. Careers change. Habits change. People change. Your own desires change. But the one thing that never changes is the truth of God's word. The one thing that never changes is the truth of God's word, because truth never changes. Because it's the truth, it never changes. It's the same today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. It's the only solid thing. Listen, it's the only thing that never changes. It's the word of God. And so in speaking on the promises of God in Hebrews 6:19, it tells us this. It says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That's the kind of anchor that you want. That's the kind of anchor that we need to anchor our lives to, our marriages to, our careers to. That's the kind of anchor that keeps us from things from just flying all over the place. That's the kind of anchor that gives us stability within the storm. Not that we won't go through the storms, but it gives us stability in the storm. And that's the anchor to life's blessings and the crisis. It's the same anchor. It's the living, breathing, inerrant Word of God. It's the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. It's the Bible that we have today. So how do we get through what we're going through today, tomorrow, and the next day? How do we get through it? You anchor your life on the Word of God. You anchor your life on the Word of God. And I believe this with all my heart. If you begin, and you begin today, of taking these steps that I'm going to share with you today, your life is going to have greater stability. Your life is going to have greater confidence. You're going to have more wisdom in your life. And you're going to have abundant blessings in your life. So let's read this scripture. Let's see what God's Word says about this. We're in James. We're in chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 17. And he tells us, and he's writing to people that are under enormous stress and enormous crisis in their life. And he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. It says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I like the sound of that. We should be the kind of like first fruits. The creators of the seas and the heaven and the fish and everything in there and the stars and all the everything. If you realize that, if you really think about that today, do you realize that you are one of God's most important creations? You, sitting here today, listening to this message today, are one of his most prized possessions. More than the stars in the heavens, more than the sun in the sky, more than the waters in the sea, you matter to God. And his word, the Bible, whether it's printed, whether it's an app, whether it's in your tablet, it doesn't matter. You matter to God, and his word is a gift to you. He's given that to us. It's a gift to you. The Bible, this Bible, it is and always has been his primary and eternal word of way to communicate with you and I. It's his way to continue his relationship with you and I. And in his word, he shows us, he gives us hope and he gives us help and helps us to anchor our lives during these storms that come into our life. And it's his gift to you. So today, what I want you to see in the book of James, these five aspects that are going to look at in his word. Five aspects about God's word. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Bible, his gift to us. So number one, and you might want to write these down, but number one is the Bible says God's word is good. We just read that. It said God's word is good. This gift to you, this that he's given us, this word of God, it's a good gift. It's good for us. And the reason that it's good for us is because it's beneficial to us. It's useful to us. It's meant to be used by us. He's given us this word, or his word. He's given that because it's useful to us. It has value to us. It's very valuable to us. And have you ever received a gift that wasn't useful, that it wasn't anything that you really needed? Well, sure, we all have. We've all got lots of ties, and we've all got shirts that we don't wear, and we've all got those things, you know. But what do you do with a gift that isn't useful? You put it up on the shelf, and you forget about it. Actually, when you do that, you're saying it has no value to you. So don't treat God's word the same way. when we have these books, when we have these gifts, when we have these information from Him, we have these letters from Him to us. Don't treat God's words like it has no value, like it has no benefit, like I don't have time for it. The Bible tells us, you know, it's a good book. It's beneficial. It has value to us. Listen, everything in that book is exactly what you need. Not just the portions that you like to read, but everything in that book has exactly what you need. And the second aspect of God's Word is this. It's perfect. His Word is perfect. It's perfect for us. It's a perfect present for us. Isn't it great when you give somebody a present and you watch them and they open it up and everything and they look at it and they hold it up or they look, you know, whatever it might be, and they say, oh my gosh, it's just perfect. What they're saying is it's perfect for them. What they're saying is I value this. What they're saying is I need this. I'm going to be able to use this. And when we say that, when we say it's perfect, what are we saying? We're saying there's no flaws in this. This thing is perfect. There's no flaws in it anywhere. We're saying that you can count on it. This is something that I need. It's perfect. I can count on this. I can trust in this. I know that it's going to work every time because it's perfect. God's Word is good, and God's Word is perfect. And number three, we find out as we read in the book of James that God's Word is true. We understand it. It tells us that God's Word is true. But it's truth. Not true that what we would hear on a TV or what we might hear on the radio, but what true is truth. The Bible, it's always telling you the right thing. Might not be what you want to hear, but it's always telling you the right thing. It's always telling you the truth. It's never going to lead you astray. It's always correct whenever you read it. His Word will teach you the truth. And we understand and we know this, that the truth will set you free. And then as we look in there, aspect number four, it's found in James. It's God's Word is unchanging. God's Word is unchanging. The Bible says that there's no variation in it. It's not like a shadow that moves and it sways. It doesn't switch back and forth. God never changes, and so His Word never changes. And some gifts that we get, they're nice and we like them and they're okay, but they wear out. They might go out of style or something, but God's Word, it stays the same all the time. It's always relevant. It's always dependable. We can always count on it. And then the fifth aspect of the Word of God, it's life-giving. God's Word is life-giving to us. Verse 18 tells us, and it says, of His own will, He brought us forth by His Word. You know what's interesting? You know what makes us different than the animals? He didn't give them His Word. It wasn't given to them. He was given. He didn't give His Word to horses. He didn't give His Word to the cattle of the field. He didn't give His Word to the rabbits or the squirrels or anything like that. He gave His Word to you and I, that we would have them. And we were created in God's image, and He gave us His Word. And so we, being created in His image, we have the ability to love. We have the ability to show compassion, or to show grief, or to show joy. And that's why it's so important for us to understand His Word. That's why it's so important for us to read His Word. That's why it's so important for us to study His Word. Because it's a gift to us that He's given to us for an anchor in our lives. It's kind of like a pivot point that we would circle around it. That we would have a base that we can hold on to, that we can have hope in, that we can have trust in. When everything else goes out of line, this base is always there. Romans 15:4, it tells us, for whatever is written in former days was written for our instructions, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And did you catch that, what it said? It said, everything in this book that we're reading, everything in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, everything in there is there to give us hope. It's there to give us encourage us. It's there to give us endurance on days like today, when we're having a difficult time, when we're in the midst of the storm, when we need some encouragement, when the days seem long and hopeless, when you feel like I can't hardly press on anymore. And you've probably, or maybe if you feel like that in your life today, if you're feeling like that today, quite possibly, very probably, you haven't been spending enough time in your Bible. So let's do this. Let's do this right at the end of this here. I'm going to give you two steps. And please, I want you to write these down, and then we're going to close on this. We're going to read one verse. I'm going to give you two steps, and it's going to help you create an anchor in your life during the storms. It's going to withstand any storm that comes around you. It's going to provide a foundation that's unbreakable, that won't be blown over. You'll be anchored to a rock. It won't be moved. And so if you would, read this with me, James 1:21. And he tells us, he says, therefore, he's given instruction. These are here for our benefit. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the meekness of the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So anchor one, this can happen today. You can begin this today. Anchor number one, treat the Bible as if it's a gift from God. Because it is. Treat it like it was something that God, the creators of the heavens, the earth, and the sea has given you. Because it is. Stop taking it for granted. It's the owner's manual for life. And realize what it is. It's priceless. It's priceless in our life. And we should treat it that way. And we should use it that way. We should use it for what it is, which is a good and perfect gift given for your benefit. And anchor number two is this. Humbly accept the word of God. Humbly accept the Bible when we read the Bible. Humbly accept that. Receive it with meekness is what it says. Humbly accept that in your life. You know, you may not understand what it says in there, but humbly accept that it's the word of God. You might not even agree with it, but humbly accept that in your life. Because it leads to saving souls. Yours and those around you. The true and living inerrant word of God says, verse 21, it says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness or humbleness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So as we close this out, as we finish up today, I want to ask you if you would receive or recommit your life to Christ. Because the Bible tells us, and sometimes we have to be born again. And it says, put away filthiness. Put away wickedness. Get that stuff out of your life. It says, put on righteousness in your lives. Change clothes. Change the person that you are. Humbly accept this offering of salvation that he's offering to you. Just humbly take that into your life. So I want to pray us out of here. So if you would, bow your heads. I'm going to pray with me. And I want to ask that you would recommit your life to Christ, or that you would commit your life to Christ for the very first time. So if you're at home by yourself, I just bow your head. You can say it out loud. You can say it in a group. Let's just pray and say, Dear Jesus, as much as I know how, as much as I know what to say, I just want to open my life up. I open my heart up to you. I want to build my life around your precepts, Lord. I want to build my life around your Bible. I want to build my life around your word, which is the truth, Lord. I want to anchor my life on that. Not on the popular opinion of the world, Lord. Not on the popular opinion of others around me. But I want to be anchored, Lord, by the rock that has stability when the storms of life come. And Lord, this day I open my life to you, and I humbly accept your word into my life. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.